Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out the competition. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove boxing champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found the average fan knows a little bit more. So I open up the toll-free at the top of each hour just for you, the fan. If you want one part, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text me here in the studio. Don't have to come on the air with a question or a comment or a rip. Your call. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, guess what? We're 1 week removed, of course, from Shakur Stevenson. Wow. Taking a march. Jamal Herring for the WBO 130-pound title. Of course, sending a message to Oscar Valdez. We'll hear from Shakur a little bit later. But, man, all I can tell you is that I dogged him after his last fight because he didn't go for it. But guess what? He looked like such a complete fighter this last time. I mean, I was absolutely blown away by it. So Shakur Stevenson, is he a superstar in the making? Yes, he is. Is he a superstar for sure? Well, that remains to be seen. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Not too often do you see world-class fighters on TV and one guy pitching like an ultimate shutout. I mean, a shutout. I'm talking about Shakur Stevenson. Call him Double S, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Of course, wow, I had dogged him out after his prior experience, his prior fight, of course, when he sort of wouldn't throw the third, fourth, or the fifth punch. But against Jamal Waring, I guess maybe he wasn't afraid, but he threw his third, fourth, fifth, sometimes a sixth punch. Bottom line is, he threw punches and bunches, and he is a superstar fighter, no doubt about that. Now, him and Oscar Valdez, of course, that's probably going to be the big fight down the line at 130 pounds. Valdez has talked about fighting Stevenson on this show prior. Of course, he talked about that Shakur would smoke Jamal. It wouldn't even be close. He was right. Obviously, it was a one-sided route before the fight was stopped. But at the end of the day, I think Shakur Stevenson proved to a lot of people that he's not just some Floyd Mayweather get over. I mean, he can actually fight, and I think if he wants to, he can step in and have some pop on his punch too, but I don't think he's ready to commit himself to stepping in just yet. Bottom line is, he looked fantastic last week. Now, we go from fantastic boxing last week to my man, boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How's everything with yourself?
I'm doing all right. Let's talk about Shakur Stevenson, Double S, 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Any flaws last week that you could point out?
Man, I tell you what, you know, if ESPN would have closed the show playing the Monkees, I'm a believer. I am a believer, man. Shakur Stevenson's a bad boy. He is all the hype and the bag of chips. He really dominated a really good fighter in Jamal Herring, you know, and he barely broke a sweat. You know, Herring showed some guts. In the fourth round, he kind of came on, and Shakur Stevenson just stepped on the gas. You know, he really looked like another level.
I'm going to say it again. When you're the B guy and you're the opponent, you really don't have a whole lot of opportunities to win because A, the boxing establishment feels you're gonna lose because in fact, right. You know, the promoter's picking you to come in here and lose to his guy, the whole nine yards, the odds are probably against you. I mean, so you have to make a fight of it. You have to, like, when he went back after the first round, when Waring went back after the first round, my man Bomac used that word, used the MF word a bunch of times. Okay. And he was trying to get this guy fired up. You got to go after the MF. You have to go. In other words, if you want to win, you don't stand there and try to box with Shakur Stevenson and or box with Floyd Mayweather like Robert Guerrero, like so many guys in the past. I don't get it. I just don't get it. When you can't outbox a guy, you can't outbox him. So you got to find some other way to beat him. And when you're the opponent, you're the B guy. Waring needed to put extreme force and unbridled aggression forward last week in order to try to keep his title. He didn't do it. He got stopped anyway. What's the difference?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to go out, you know, doing what you do best. Now, yeah, I'm sure Jamal Herring prides himself as a good boxer himself. But, you know, after about a minute into that first round, you know, he's got to process that in the computer, you know, in his brain, like, okay, let's go to plan B. And like I said, I thought he had to impose his man strength on him. You know, he's 35 years old, but he's a fresh 35. You know, he doesn't have a long career. You know, hasn't really been in any wars. He had to bring it to Shakur Stevenson, volume punch, head in his chest, be the bigger man. And Shakur Stevenson not only proved that he's a grown-up, you know, his body, he's a thicker guy. He's just a better fighter, and he's got a mean streak. And I think if the fight would have gone left, let's say Jamal Herring would have bend the rules, I think Shakur Stevenson would have tapped into that mean streak that he has. Like we've seen other great fighters like Miguel Cotto, Andre Ward, who kind of have tiptoed the line of being a dirty fighter. And he would have brought that side out of Shakur Stevenson. I think Shakur Stevenson just is another level above Jamal Herring. And if Herring wants to continue, I'm sure he could beat a lot of guys at that weight class. But Stevenson obviously is not one of them.
Okay, you brought up Andre Ward. I wasn't going to bring him up this segment, but I was going to bring him up a little later. Hector and I were talking about Andre Ward last night. Of course, Hector wanted to make a move at one point try to become his manager back in 2003 or something like that. Anyway, bottom line is, it ended up going to James Prince, Sir Rap-A-Lot Records, the CEO down there in Texas, and the rest is history. Now, Hector's contention is that Andre Ward is not a superstar. He's a star. He's not a superstar. And that had he went with Bob Arum or Don King, he would have been 10 times bigger than he is now worldwide.
That's debatable because it's Andre Ward's personality, I think, that probably inhibits him from, or inhibited him from being a quote unquote superstar. I think to the boxing mainstream press, he is a superstar, but he doesn't have that crossover appeal. I know he appeared in the movie, and I think it was the first Creed movie. You know,
if he walked down the street in San Francisco right now, nobody would know who the screw he is. Nobody would know who he is. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, and you know what? There's only a handful of athletes that have that crossover appeal in general. Even like Mike Trout, who's the best player in baseball, he could walk up and down 42nd Street. Unless he's in uniform, no one's going to recognize him. It still doesn't diminish their greatness. It diminishes their pockets, you know. But let's say, you know, Andre Ward is Captain America. You know, he's a gold medalist. He's clean cut. He is everything you would love your children to be.
All the accolades you just threw at him, he deserves it. He's a son of God. He's a wonderful family man. He's a great father, a great husband, the whole nine yards. Okay. But he didn't, how can I put this? He didn't sell tickets in his own home city. He wasn't a guy that you wanted to tune. I mean, I can't believe, I don't know anybody. I don't know too many people said to me, guess what, Blood? Andre Ward's fighting and I ain't missing it. Hey, Hagler's fighting tonight, Pedro. Marvin's going to fight tonight. Tommy's fighting tonight. Roberto's fighting tonight. Ray's fighting tonight. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, you just, there isn't the same. It ain't the same.
I hear you. And also in part is Andre didn't fight in the most exciting style. You know, despite fighting a who's who of that era, you know, Carl Froch and
Kessler.
Yeah, Kessler. You know, he fought everyone he had to fight. He never ducked anybody. He fought the best that was available to him. You know, but he also fought in that, you know, Bernard Hopkins, self-preservation, defense first, you know, not exciting to some, you know, to the most part of people. People want to see knockouts. People want to see, you know, people get hurt. And Andre Ward really didn't do that. You know, he was just superior to everybody. And, you know, he showed obviously grit when he had to in the second Kovalev fight and stopping his, probably his hardest nemesis. So that also had to play a part into it. And, you know, he's a good guy. You know, he's not out there in strip clubs making it rain like Floyd Mayweather
okay,
was.
Okay. I got a question for you. Did the son of God turn into a little bit of a devil in that second Kovalev fight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his prayers were answered when they read the scorecards in the first fight. So, you know, ask Kathy Duva. I'm sure she'll tell you that, you know, one or two shots are low.
Kathy Duva, of course, the wife of Dan Duva. She's the president of Main Events. Of course, he's a man. This is a man that started pay-per-view back in 1981. He had the vision to put pay-per-view on home television when he put together Ray Leonard and Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hearns in their first fight in September of 1981. It was the limited pay-per-view across the country. We watched it for $14 here in the city, and we were blown away by it. Watching big fights on TV like that, that was the first, man. And now, I remember Don King said, came on my show and said, they're killing it. They're killing the business. Aram came on the show and said, pay-per-view is the end of boxing. Those guys made billions off pay-per-view, those two men.
Yeah, I think they were, you know, I think they're just haters because he didn't come up with it first.
And may he rest in peace. Talking about Dan Duva, of course, he died from brain cancer or brain tumor. You know, what's funny is it, not funny, but ironic is that both he and Jay Larkin, the Showtime executive producer, both got the same thing, and they were partners. You know what I mean? They were buddies, and this it was like. That was just a little weird type of thing. Anyway, yeah, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of box and MMA, of course. Little Tower of Power to the break. Keeping it real, baby. This time it's real. Guess what? Tower of Power's got yet another lead singer out there, and his name is not Socrates Palmer. You are tuned to Ring Talk.
You walk with such a gentle sway, and I knew right from the start she was the one. Way. I wish I might make you my all-star shining bright. I know I can feel it. This time is real.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The soul side of town. Mighty Tower of Power, the boys are rocking and rolling. They're on tour again, of course. They've always been on tour. They've never come off tour. In fact, it is the touringest band I've ever met in my entire life. These guys are on the road like 250 days a year. Good Lord. Who wants to be on the road 250 days a year and these guys are all over 60? Something's wrong. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Well, maybe you don't have any life at home. Anyway, bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing. MMA brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Of course, their interactive website is WBCboxing.com. Looks like last night, former IBF number one light heavyweight contender, Fanlong Cold Blood Ming. I guess he's Chinese. 17-0, 10 KOs, remained undefeated with a 10-round decision over Israel Dufus. Dufus falls to 27. That was predictable, 97-93, 96-94. And I think in the main event, lightweight Miguel El Gallo Moreo, now 10-1-1, 4 KOs, scored a 10-round unanimous nod over Victor Betancourt Jr., of course, 27-4, 14 KOs. That was a bit of an upset. Scores were 97-93, 96-94, and 95-94, all for the winner, Marrero. Now we go back to the boxing PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, there's some guys fighting tonight that a lot of people really haven't heard a whole lot about. Who is Jamal Shango James?
Jamal Shango James. You got me.
All right. I mean, these guys are fighting. That's the reason why I'm bringing this up. Is these guys are fighting for the WBA welterweight title. He's going up against Razvan Butaev. And these guys are fighting tonight, of course, on the same card. Your man, Jaron Boots Ennis, 146.5 pounds, taking on Thomas Duarlame, the former champion, I think, or the guy from Columbia, down from South. Anyway, Miguel Rivera is on the card as well with Matias Ramo. But Boots Ennis, you've been high on him for a while, huh?
I'm as high as, you know, within reason. You know, he's being brought up the correct way, slow and steady. He's fighting guys that are kind of like junior welterweights, and now they're like on the back nine of their career. Thomas Delorme, perfect example. A vet, he's got a name. Tailor-made, you know, Jerry Ennis comes from a boxing family, and that helps a lot. You know, he's from the Philadelphia area. And so far, so good. You know, I would still put Virgil Ortiz a little ahead of him as far as the prospect and, you know, next big thing at the welterweight division. But Ennis is right there. And Delorme will definitely be a good test for him. Smaller guy. But I think Ennis, if he wants to show the world that he's here, he's going to have to be impressive. And if he could stop Delorme, who I believe has never been stopped, that would be a big statement.
Okay, you mentioned Virgil. I mean, Virgil and Spencer are going to hook it up. It looks like Virgil Ortiz and Spencer are going to hook it up. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I'm going to pick the youngster. I'm going to pick the upset guy. I'm going to pick the underdog. And the reason why I say that because I'm still not sure that the guy that got thrown out of a car at 150 miles per hour is going to be all right.
You know, I don't think you're crazy at all. You know, Virgil Ortiz is obviously the pressure fighter. I mean, I don't question Errol Spence's desire to be great, you know, but you can't tell me that Virgil Ortiz is not the hungrier fighter, the guy that sees the world in front of him. If, you know, if he gets an opportunity against Errol Spence and he beats him, wow, that's a monster statement. And he is, you know, with his elbows clearing out space for that pound for pound ranking, you know, he's knocking on the door if he's able to knock off Errol Spence. I wonder when that's going to happen, when the WBC is going to mandate that.
December or January was somebody who was telling me. That's what I was hearing yesterday, December or January. So, I mean, December will probably be a little bit too soon, but.
Yeah, I think it needs a little bit more seasoning, you know, but probably early next year. It's a big fight and one that could do big numbers as far as ticket sales in Texas, I'm sure. Which would be the logical thing to do, right? Instead of, you know. Putting in Vegas.
Well, that's an all-Texas battle, man, and I got news for you. Errol Spence is not going to be the crowd's favorite. Jamal James. No. Who is Jamal James? He's 27-1 with 12 KOs. He's a welterweight, former MMA fighter, fighting out in Minneapolis, Minnesota, taking on Razab Budev, who's 13-0 tonight. Of course, that's going to be on the ESPN card, I believe. No, it's just on the Showtime card. Bottom line, Showtime. Showtime at ESPN going tonight. Now, Showtime's going to go with Jose Cepeda and Josh Vargas. These guys were hooking up at the press. These guys were hooking up at the press conference yesterday.
Well, I'm going to try to put my bias aside. Jose Vargas is from my neck of the woods, the Bronx, New York. Mm-hmm. A young man that I have seen come up from the amateur ranks when he was training at Morris Park Boxing Club, where I used to hit the heavy bag. So I'm going to say that I'm definitely rooting for him. With that in mind, this is a monster step up. Cepeda is a world-class fighter. You know, he was in the fight of the year about a year ago. And he is, what can I say? He's probably maybe the third best 140-pounder, you know, outside of Taylor and Ramirez. It's a big step up for Josue, and things got ugly during the weigh-in. You never want to see a trainer get. I mean, trainers one thing with their mouth, but he actually touched Vargas by pushing him, which I did. You know, I hope the commission looked at that and hits him in the pockets. Maybe docks his feet. You know, I mean, I know they have no control, but he should be hit with a fine because a trainer you can badmouth all you want, but when you put your hands on another fighter. I mean, there's no need for that. And, you know, it's that testosterone is way in. People are cranky. You're not making the weight. You're drained. And it's a little bit out of Vargas' character, you know. Vargas is a very low-key kid. Mm. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting fight. Another chapter in the great Puerto Rico-Mexico rivalry. I have to give the edge to Cepeda, though. Cepeda's a world-class fighter. And, you know, let's see if those ways on that level.
Cepeda 34-2, Vargas 19-1. Of course, Vargas coming off the win over Henry Lundy. You know, and he beat, I think he beat Baranchek before that. So, I mean, he's a decent fighter without a doubt. You're rooting for him. So let's hope the kid from the, from New York City can do well. Speaking of New York City, are they going to ever host this lightweight title fight between George Kambosos and Teofimo Lopez? Is that going to end up in yours? Where's that going?
Well, they announced it's supposed to be November 27th at the Hulu Theater, which is formerly known as the Paramount, also known as the Felt Forum. It's the small house in the garden. It's supposed to be November 27th. You know, you cross your fingers. You know, it's had so many different postponements.
Six.
Yeah. So I just hope I'll believe it the day of the weigh-in, and they're both there and they're locked in the hotel. They can't escape. And we'll see you on the 27th. It's a good fight. You know, it makes sense having it in New York, in a smaller venue. I think it should do well in terms of ticket sales. And there's a lot of bad blood there. So it should be for good television.
The people that promoted the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones exhibition, whatever it was, Chiller, whatever you want to, anyway, they failed to come up with the money for this one as far as the fight was concerned. Evidently, you know, had to go to the second bid as far as Barry Hearn was concerned, of course, Matchroom Boxing. Shouldn't that disqualify them from doing anything in boxing? Shouldn't those guys just be run out the door on that one? I mean, come on, six cancellations basically because they couldn't, a lot of times because they couldn't come up with the money?
Yeah, I mean, it really, you talk about something that just went left overnight. I mean, they came on the scene with this, supposed to be a $6 million payday for Teofimo, which would have been like about four times what he's made, you know, from Top Rank. And then about a month later, I believe they signed Jim Lampley. And so it's like, okay, we have a new player in boxing broadcast. And then I don't know what happened. You know, you talk about just the roof caving in on them.
Well, Lampley wouldn't do it because they brought Donald Trump in. He wouldn't do it.
That's
Lampley
the
backed out. Yeah, oh, y'all know. They brought in Donald Trump. Lampley said, screw you. I'm not getting involved with this. I won't have anything to do with that.
Really? I thought he just didn't want to be a part of the Holyfield.
No. It was Donald Trump being part of it. Larry came on the show and talked about that. I put Larry on the spot on that one. You know, because I knew what it was. I knew what the answer was before I asked him. But I thought that was, you know, Jim Lampley has been criticized by me for certain things. But the bottom line is I thought that was a lot of class. He hadn't been on TV in a while. He was a guy maybe starving for a little, because he's a TV star for the most part. Let's be honest. He's spent most of his life on television. Hasn't been on TV for a while. So that would have been a shot for him to get back in the groove, the boxing groove, this and that. But he turned it down, and I'm sure he turned down a five figure payday on that one as well. So I give him props on that one without a doubt, Jim Lampley. That was pretty cool. Now tonight, who's gonna win the who's gonna win tonight between? I mean, you say that that your guy is under should be the underdog. How does Cepeda win this fight?
You know what, Josue is a gutsy fighter. He's gonna be fighting at home. His family and friends, he needs to stay disciplined, and he gets hit a lot, and that's why I'm picking Cepeda. But Cepeda has a lot of miles. Maybe tonight's the night that all that mileage catches up with him. But Vargas is a live dog.
Good point. No doubt about that. Next week, we're going to go in depth about the career of Oscar De La Hoya, you and I, okay?
Copy, brother. Thank you for having me on again.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That is Boxing 2HB, 2PHE, the one, the only. Socrates Palmer Jr. of the Bronx, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More after the break on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Wait, you gonna sit there and let him talk to me like that?
Nope. Let's go to some nice, quiet place where we can't hear him.
He's got some nerve.
Let the horns play a little bit. When Doc Cooper wrote this song, he was talking about the fact that gas was like a dollar a gallon. It went from like 26 cents a gallon to a dollar a gallon, and Doc was freaking out. Only so much oil in the ground is the title of the song. The bottom line is, they skipped $4 a gallon here in California. It went from $3 to $5. They just skipped $4. Just went right past it, folks. Gas is like $5 a gallon here in the city, and it's freaking me out. What can I say? Go electric. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of conservation and, no, I'm just kidding. And bottom line is some chicks are going to hook it up tonight. Of course, WB's title on the line, Jackie Nava, 38-4, of course, 16 KOs, long time super bantamweight, fighter, no doubt about that. Taking on Mariana Juarez, of course, 55-10. Boy, these chicks are like the legends of female boxing in Mexico. No doubt about that. She's 55-10. These guys are hooking up in my favorite arena. Well, my favorite arena in Mexico, the Tijuana Auditorium. I own that place. When I went down there and I was working for Fernando Beltran, not Beltran, who was the other promoter? I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, bottom line is when I was doing the fights down there monthly, the fights in Tijuana, of course, we had Eric Morales on one of our fight cards. So that was the place to be, no doubt about it, the Tijuana Auditorium. It was such a great fight atmosphere. It was everybody was there. They had midgets. They had everything. I mean, it was like a sideshow in the crowd. It just was always at the Tijuana Auditorium. Of course, I loved spending my time down there. It was Guillermo Mayon was a promoter that employed me down there for like almost 3 years doing that monthly television. I had a great time, especially when I found out that I could eat the Mexican food. Yeah, for the first like year and a half, I went down there, folks. I was sneaking across a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and 2 liters of Pepsi. I kid you not. That's what I would like drink for 2 days because I was scared of the food and scared of the water. Right. And then I got hungry one time and some lady was making these tacos across the street, homemade tacos. And that was the end of that. Anyway, bottom line is I know how to appreciate my Mexican food, even in Tijuana. Just don't drink the water. Don't drink any of the, don't do anything as far as ice is concerned either. I mean, stay away from the ice. People say to me, yeah, you know, I had a cocktail, but I watched them pour it from the bottle. And yeah, but you had the ice cubes and that's made of like Mexican waters, you know, so you don't want to be dealing with that. No doubt about that. Now, let's talk about the not so glorified world of the UFC. Of course, talk about Dana White. Dana White is not my favorite guy. Everybody knows that. I mean, if I could kick Dana White in the face 4 or 5 times a day, I'd kick him in the face 10 times a day. In other words, I'd overdo it. Why do I say that? Because I think he's the most obnoxious prick I've ever met in my life. And I have worked for him. I've worked with him. He was okay to work with at first, but then he became Dana and became like his head became, he's got a big head to begin with. He's got a head like Uncle Fester, the Adams family. He's got this big shaved white head. Okay. But it's bigger than you can imagine, but it's gotten so much bigger since he became president of the UFC. And the UFC, of course, morphed into a $1 billion entity. I mean, they sold for $4.2 billion last year. And I think Scott Cuddy, the mathematician, tells me that's $4,200 million. That's a lot of money for the UFC. I think it is. Of course, when you got franchises like Barcelona and the soccer leagues in Europe and this and that, I think they're worth more, but the UFC, $4.2 billion, I guess it's worth what you can get for it. Anyway, speaking of the UFC, we'll go into a real brief. Marvin Vettori beat Pablo Costa last week. Pablo Costa is that guy that weighs in at 205 pounds and then goes up to 245 pounds. He can actually gain 35 or 40 pounds overnight. I kid you not. He gained some incredible amount of weight the last time out. Anyway, bottom line is Costa lost a 5-round decision. Costa's one of those guys, if you can take him into like the second round, you're going to win. He's a gas guy. He gasses easy. He's a gas guy. He's got to get you out of there right away or he doesn't get you, period. Bottom line is went 5 rounds and all 3 judges started 3 rounds of 2 as far as Marvin Vettori was the winner. Grant Dawson won the co-feature. Jessica Rose Clark won a battle of women against Jocelyn Edwards. That went to the decision. So all these, there's only a submission. Alex Cesera stopped Sung Wong Choi. I want to take, he's Korean. For the submission, rear naked choke, second round, 3:31 in. And, here we go, light heavyweight fight. Nicolae Negromunu taking on Ike Villanueva. He stopped Villanueva in the first round, a minute and 18 seconds in. So that was a card on ESPN+. Of course, tonight, there is a fight on ESPN. It's coming to us from Dubai. They're going to Dubai. Of course, USC, they are making a lot of money. I'm not going to say they aren't. But, of course, my knock on them is that they don't pay the fighters. I mean, come on, man. If you
I think they made $257 million last year. That was their gross. Okay. And if you only pay the fighters 8 to 10% or maybe 15%, you're making a lot of money. And I think that's a monopoly. I think somebody should look into that. I think the government should look into it. But then again, I think the government should look into a lot of things. Anyway, the main event tonight from, Dubai, Jan Black was taking on Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira was a former, challenger for the light heavyweight title when John Jones had it. Peter Yanson, the co-feature, taking on Corey Sandhagen. Corey Sandhagen can fight 135 pounds. So can Peter Yan to an extent, but Peter can't spell his name. It's P-E-T-R instead of P-E-T-E-R. Learn how to spell, pal. Anyway, outside of that, the rest of the card looks like a bunch of stiffs, except for guess who's on the card? Jingling. Yeah, Lee Jingling. Lee Jingling is taking on Kazmet Chamomov. Let me tell you, Kazmet is going to smoke Lee Jingling. That's all I can predict on that card, no doubt about that. But as far as the UFC is concerned, that's what is going on. They're back in Dubai. How long they stay in Dubai, who cares? But the bottom line is Dana White is going to make some money this weekend, so I'm not a camper. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Earlier in the show, we spent some time talking about the great Shakur Stevenson. How can I say great? The kid's only like 21 years old, 22 years old. He is that, okay? I mean, he doesn't shave yet, sort of like Julio Cesar Chavez, but a black version. When Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., when I interviewed him in San Jose about, I guess about, God, 10, 15 years ago, something like that. Anyway, the kid didn't shave. I said, do you shave? He said, no, I don't shave yet. I said, cool, okay. Anyway, I don't think Shakur Stevenson shaves yet, but the bottom line is, he didn't need a razor to beat Jamal Herring last week. I mean, he beat Jamal every second of every round. Some people thought that Jamal was coming on in the fourth round. I thought that Shakur was just backing up to an extent. Anyway, bottom line is, let's hear from Shakur Stevenson post-fight.
Shakur Stevenson just had a breakout performance. Shakur, we had asked you before, was Jamal Herring the man to bring out the best in you? Did he?
Most definitely. I feel like Jamal Herring is a great fighter. He's tough. He's real tough. He got great boxing skill. He got great power. I was just the better man tonight.
What was said after the fight? Because there was a lot said before, and I know that it's gamesmanship, and I know that there's no friends, but what was said after the fight?
I mean, it was no friends because we were fighting. But now that we're not fighting, I love Jamal Herring. He's my friend. I don't got no problem with Jamal. Hey, to his wife, I'm sorry. I don't want no trouble with you. She's tough.
Yeah, she doesn't mess around, but neither did you tonight. What was it about your performance that made you happiest?
I want to thank Tim Bradley. Tim Bradley was criticizing me, calling me boring. So I wanted a fun fight. I wanted to perform, show my skill, show my boxing skill, my defense, my power. I showed everything tonight.
You did. What was most impressive is you were standing in front of Jamal Herring, and much like you have been able to do throughout your career, you were unhittable for parts of the fight. When did you know you had this fight won?
Around like the fifth round, I had landed everything. I was winning clearly, and then he started trying to come on. And when he started trying to come on, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a break, and then step it back up later.
Jamal, his left eye started to swell early, but then that cut happened. What did you think when you saw that blood streaming from his face?
I smelled blood. I saw he was bleeding. I'm like, okay, I gotta attack the cut. So every punch I was looking for, I was trying to touch the cut, just to make the doctor stop it.
The first title you ever won was a vacant belt. This one you had to take from another fighter. How did that feel?
It felt amazing. I want to be a superstar in the sport. I'm here to last. I take my craft very serious. I'm disciplined. I did a strong camp. I want to thank my team, Coach Wally Moses, Jack, Dirt, Kay. I had a strong team. They got me prepared for this, and we was in the gym grinding.
Everyone talks about...
I love my family and friends, too. I appreciate y'all.
Everyone talks about the young princes, kings, whatever you want to call them, at 135, who don't step into the ring against one another. But here at 130, there's champions who want to fight. Who do you want to fight?
I mean, there's only one fight left at the end of the day. It's the biggest fight in the division. Oscar can't keep ducking. It's time for him to fight. It's me versus Oscar Valdez. There's nothing else to look forward to. The 130-pound division, we need to unify. Let's get it.
That's exactly what boxing needs. Shakur, one last message to your fans who came out in force here in Atlanta.
I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jay Prince, Antonio Leonard, Andre Ward, Josh Dubin, everybody. I appreciate everybody that helped me out.
The kid's appreciative, no doubt about that, and he's got a different tune. Of course, the last fight, he was criticized by Tim Bradley and yours truly for being dull and not committing himself in this net. But James Waring, Jamal Herring proved to be the opponent that just let him. I mean, I'm not trying to say that Jamal Herring could have won. I'm not trying to say that Jamal Herring could have done better. Yeah, I am trying to say Jamal Herring could have done better, because you know what? You got to risk it. You got to throw it. I can't understand why you would get into a fight. In other words, if I got into a fight with a guy that I knew was going to outbox me, that was going to box me silly, and he's boxing me, outboxing me very easily, I'm going to have to do something differently. I'm going to have to change the plan here, because obviously this is not working. Okay? So why guys try to outbox these master boxers? I just don't get it. You step on their foot. You hit them with an elbow. You hit them in the elbow. You hit them in the chest. You hit them in the ball. You hit them everywhere you can. Like Roberto Duran said, with if he ever fought Floyd Mayweather, he'd never even once go after Floyd Mayweather's head. He'd chop his body down first, of course, then the head would fall. But the bottom line is, right now we've got fighters like Dillian White. Not my favorite guy. Of course, the heavyweight out of the UK has been knocked out 2 times, got knocked out by Alexander Povetkin in 2020, of course, knocked out in the 5th round. Then I think Povetkin got COVID. So then Povetkin comes back and fights him, about 5 months later, 6 months later. And he's got, in 2021, he's got COVID or had COVID. He gets TKO in the 4th round. Povetkin was 2 different guys. I mean, it was like a metamorphosis. The difference was so vast between Povetkin in the first fight, in August of 2020, and the second fight in March of 2021. Anyway, Dillian White is going to take on Dillian White. Let me get to his record here. What is he like? Lost 2 times, 28-2, 19-0, stopped it 2 times. Going to take on Tyson Fury for the World Heavyweight Championship. This is probably going to go down in the UK. Of course, Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, 31-0-1, of course, coming off that astonishing knockout of Deontay Wilder. Poor Deontay. When I say poor Deontay, I wanted to go out of my shield. Blood, you went out on your shield. You got your wish. Okay, there's no doubt about it. So no more crying, no more bitching, no more blaming Mark Breland for putting muscle relaxers or Valiums in your drinking water between rounds. You know, the costume you wore to the ring was too heavy. You have problems with your legs and your arms. No. The only places you have problems is between your ears. That's where you have the problems, because you think that you're it. You think you're pound for pound, one of those pound for pound guys. Why? Because you can throw the right hand. But guess what? With the left hand, you couldn't reach an orgasm with the left hand in Deontay Wilder. You know what I'm trying to say there, don't you? I mean, come on, man. You're like a one-handed guy. But you need to set up the one hand. You don't even know how to set the one hand up. You just throw it. You just throw it. I throw it high. I throw it low. I just throw it. Indiscriminately throwing right hands, okay? The bottom line is, it worked for you, you know, for a long time there. Would you go like 40-0 or 40? Yeah, something like that. 39-0, fighting 39. Say 37. Lesser than world-class guys, in my opinion. Anyway, the bottom line is, I think the real guy he only fought was Luis Ortiz. And outside of Luis Ortiz, I mean, who did Deontay Wilder really fight? I mean, of course, then he took on Tyson Fury and he got beat not once, not twice, but 3 times. He got beat 3 times. Think about that. Got licked all 3 times. Why do they want a 4th time? The money. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
I love the way that you walk, the way that you talk really knocks me out.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Under all conditions, you're mine all of the time. So wonderful, so marvelous, girl, you're everything to me.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Ooh, the horns of the mighty Tower of Power. Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, checking out the boxing calendar for today. ESPN, October 30th. Jose Cepeda, we talked about that. And Josh Vargas going from the Hulu Theater, I believe, in New York City. Of course, super lightweight's getting it on, 140 pounds. Also on October 30th, Saturday, DAZN is going to rock with Alan Babic taking on Eric Molina in heavyweight fights. I think Eric Molina is the 257-pound heavyweight, I think, out of Tijuana. The guy's like, he sells all kinds of tickets, but he doesn't look like he trains too hard. But the bottom line is he does sell tickets. October 30 as well, with the aforementioned Jamal James. Who's he? WBA regular welterweight champion, supposedly, according to this print here, taking on Razab Budev. That's going to go down on Showtime. And the co-feature is going to be Philadelphia's Jerome Ennis taking on Thomas Duarlame. Of course, those guys are all hooking it up at welterweight. Now, November the 5th, got a battle of chicks going on ESPN Plus. Mikaela Meyer taking on Maeva Hamadouche. That's going to be for the WBO and IBF 122-pound titles. And November 6th, 1 week from today, baby, the king is back. That's right. I'm not talking about Elvis. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez, once beaten world 168-pound champion, the pound-for-pound king out of Mexico, no doubt about that. He and Eddie Reynoso, his trainer, of course, coming into Las Vegas to take on Caleb Plant, of course, for the undisputed super middleweight title. That's going to rock. Caleb Plant undefeated. He's got a good attitude. He's got a good game plan. He's going to talk some smack, and he's going to get hit in the body. He's going to fold like a cheap pup ten after, before 10 rounds. That's what I think. Anyway, bottom line is, 1 week from today, we're talking Caleb Plant and Canelo Alvarez. And guess what? David Benavidez's opponent, Jose Uzukintai, pulled out or got pulled because of steroids. We'll talk about that and more on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Saturday edition. Tune in for the Sunday edition. The Godfather Larry Merchant will be here. The retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant will be here. That's Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV live on these same channels. So next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect to my promoter, to my producer, the great Scott Cuddy. Till next time, peace, and I'm out of here.